You're listening to Love and War with David Harwood. This is a weekly podcast where David offers spiritual insights that are aimed to enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. If you are edified by what you hear, please recommend this podcast to people you love. Now, here's David.
Let's concentrate today on loving the corporate. Wherever believers gather in loving, committed relationships, a corporate personality and character develops. It is good for leaders, it is good for servants, to love the corporate personhood of the group they lead. We can see examples of the corporate personality in the prophetic correspondence to the seven churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Revelation 1, verses 10 and 11 read like this: "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet saying, 'Write in a book what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea.'" I want to further explore this. First, what I'm going to do is read the prophecy directed to each church, and then I'll give my brief take on the corporate personality of the church. Now, the following are not deep or exact accounts, but I think that they'll serve as descriptions of these churches' corporate characters. First, let's deal with Ephesus. Remember, the point I'm trying to make is that churches or groups have corporate personalities. Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, 'The one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this: I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Churches, groups, have corporate personalities. Here's how I portray Ephesus's corporate personality. I read this prophecy and I see this. Ephesus had a high commitment level, but was low on love. Now that's a corporate personality. Do you know anybody like this? Do you love that individual? Moving on to the church at Smyrna. "To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, 'The first and the last, who was dead and has come to life, says this: I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death." There is such a thing as a corporate personality. Here's how I portray Smyrna's corporate personality. I think of Smyrna as a corporate personality. They were really faithful to the Lord in the midst of difficulties. They were loyal to Jesus, even to the point of death. Do you know any believers who are similar? This is another corporate personality. Do you know anyone like this? Do you love that person? Moving on to Pergamum. "And to the angel of the church in Pergamum write, 'The one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this: I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name, and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who is killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you. Because you have some who hold the teaching of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit acts of immorality. So You also have some who in the same way hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore, repent, or else I am coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. So here's how I portray Pergamum's corporate personality. Pergamum had yet to gain consistent victory in their corporate life. They had some moral problems, and perhaps they were under unrelenting spiritual oppression. Do you know anybody like this? Do you know anyone with these types of characteristics? This is a corporate personality. If you know somebody like that, let me ask you, do you love that individual? Moving on to the church in Thyatira, the Lord said this, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this, I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no other burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I have also received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Churches, groups, have corporate personalities. Here's how I portray Thyatira's corporate personality. Thyatira was zealous, spiritual, but lacking in discernment and moral guidelines. Corporately, they were in trouble with the Lord. Do you know any imbalanced fanatics like this? Do you love that person? That is an example of a corporate personality. Moving on to the church of Sardis, moving on to chapter 3. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I come to you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So how shall we portray Sardis's corporate personality? Well, Sardis was backsliding. They were coasting on their reputation of being vibrant in former days. They needed to recover their sense of mission. Do you know people who dwell in their good old days? This is another example of corporate character. Moving on to a more happy place, let's look at the church in Philadelphia. He who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, so that no one will take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it any more. And I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Philadelphia. Philadelphia had a good corporate personality. Here's how I portray Philadelphia's corporate character, their corporate personality. Philadelphia was low in status, but ranked high on faithful love. This is another example of corporate personality. Do you know anyone like this? Looking at the worst of the lot, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Laodicea was self-centered and materialistic. That is a corporate personality. Do you know individuals like this? Self-centered, materialistic? Do you love those people? These individual churches are corporate personalities, and if you put all the churches together in that region, you have a hint of their regional character. Well, I want to review this really quickly. Ephesus, high commitment level, low on love. That's their corporate personality. Pergamum, they had yet to gain consistent victory in their corporate life. They had some moral problems, and maybe they were under some unrelenting spiritual oppression. Thyatira, they were zealous, they were spiritual, but they lacked discernment, and they had lax moral guidelines. Actually, they were in trouble with the Lord. They were fanatical. They were not living lives that had principled boundaries. That's a corporate personality. Sardis was backsliding. They were coasting on their reputation. They needed to recover their sense of mission. Philadelphia, low in status, but high in faithful love. Laodicea, self-centered and materialistic. Again, these are examples of corporate personalities. Just as we love individuals, we are to love groups who also have corporate personalities. Here's where I'm going. The group you serve or are part of also has a corporate personality. Do you have a somewhat objective view of it? Do you seek to understand it? To wisely love them, you should. What is your responsibility? You are called to love the group, not just individuals who comprise the group. Jesus loved these churches. The New Commandment's emphasis is upon loving individuals, but the individuals that you love make up a congregation. The congregation has a corporate nature, and leaders, and those who serve in these congregations, need to embrace the call to love the corporate. This includes small groups, individual churches, regional expressions, movements, and any other way believers gather for worship, fellowship, and mission. It is similar to loving your family. You may love each individual member of your family, but hopefully you love the entire family as a group. You care about the well-being of each individual and for the family itself. Let's concentrate for a bit on Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at what I believe is a deliberate parallel between the beginning of the chapter and the end of the chapter. Here are verses 1 and 2 of Ephesians 5. Therefore, Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as the Messiah also loved you, plural you, and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. The beginning of the chapter called them to imitate God. They were to walk in love like the Messiah loved them. Paul wrote, Ephesian church, Jesus gave himself up for us. The us was the church comprised of individuals. To begin to approach obeying this, let's ask, how did Jesus love them? What human analogy did Paul employ that might guide them in how to love the church? Let's read this section on marriage, Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 30. Husbands, love your wives, just as the Messiah also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Messiah also does the church, because we are members of his body. Earlier in chapter 5, we read that Paul told them to imitate God. The Messiah represented God's love for the church. If we want to find out how we are to love those we lead, those we serve, look at Jesus' example. When we see Jesus, we see the Father. The type of love the leader is to walk in looks like Jesus giving up his life for the church. God have mercy on us. It is like a marriage. In particular, leaders are called to go to the altar and lay down their lives for those they lead. In a marriage ceremony, the couple approaches the altar. The bride, the wife, surrenders her life. The husband surrenders his life. They give themselves to one another. Leaders are to imitate Jesus' love for the people they lead. This is not often communicated because it seems to be too weird, and yet there is a Ruth to Naomi quality to love which is strong enough to elicit a covenant relationship. Ruth 1, verses 16 and 17, Ruth said, Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me. You, as a leader or as a servant in the believing community, are called to imitate God and love the community or the ministry you serve like the Messiah loves the church. He loves the individuals who comprise the bride, and he loves his bride too. Do you understand the corporate personality and character of the church you lead? Do you love them? Do you love that corporate personality? How much do you love it? Join me as I once again take a look at the call to really love the people that I am serving, to serve them not just as individuals, but as a group, to love the corporate personality and to seek to bring the corporate personality into relationship with God corporately, and that the church, that the corporate personality that we are serving also may end up reflecting the very life of Jesus.
Love and War is written and presented by David Harwood. Editing is by David and Sam Iovino, who is also the producer and technical advisor for the podcast. David is the pastor of Restoration Fellowship in Glen Cove, New York, and the author of the books God's True Love and For the Sake of the Fathers. To purchase copies of David's books, please go to loveofgodproject.org. The theme song for this podcast is Skirmish, from the album Combustion, which was written and performed by Leonard Jones. Additional episodes of Love and War can be downloaded on the Podbean app or through iTunes. For more information on Love and War, Restoration Fellowship, God's True Love, or For the Sake of the Fathers, visit us on restorationfellowshipny.com, loveofgodproject.org, book.forthesakeofthefathers.com, or you can follow us on Facebook at Restoration Fellowship NY, Love of God Project, Love and War DH, and For the Sake of the Fathers. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email David at loveandwar_dh@yahoo.com. As always, please remember to share Love and War and support us by leaving a positive review on iTunes and Podbean.